greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you, Ryan, for leading those songs. Trusting that you can do what we sang in the last there, that we adore Christ, and in all that we do, that our lives display our adoration for Him. I want to welcome the visitors. Ken and Brenda are here with us. We mentioned the fact that Collier is with us. In the minister's study, we said maybe we should welcome him too as a visitor. He's hardly here anymore. It's good to have him here. It's good to have Lyle Miller with us. He's helping in the ordination process. And I see Daryl here, Dana's father-in-law and mother-in-law. Good to have you here. And several others, welcome. This morning's message is a bit unique. We are an ordination weekend, as all of you know. And the title of the message this morning, according to the program that was handed out on Friday evening for the ordination weekend, the Sunday morning message title is God's Continual Calling. And I'm not sure if you know what we mean by that. And the reason I say, and that's the reason why I say it's a bit unique. In the process of ordaining a brother to the ministry, there's a process that we go through, and that process includes choosing a man. And you, on Friday evening, you were part of that. You came into the pastor's study and you gave the name that you believed is God's man for the work here. And God clearly spoke in that voice that you gave. And this morning, Brother Kendall is the man, as you know. But the uniqueness of this message is not to Kendall, but it's to those of you here this morning that may have felt the stirring, the call of God, and you were not chosen. And so it is a bit unique to preach to you. However, I think it's necessary. I have had opportunity over the years to speak with other brothers that have been in the process of ordination and were not chosen and definitely felt a stirring in their spirit prior to and throughout the ordination process. And then and especially those that were perhaps in the lot and they were not chosen. And in our polite Mennonite manner, we would never admit that we struggle with some of those feelings that might come because we weren't chosen for whatever reason. Why did God not choose me? And yet, as I have had a conversation with brothers over the years, some of them have been through the process multiple times. It's clear that there can be some struggles. There can be some feelings that you wrestle with. And we're not, I guess, there is a bit of an assumption here. And I believe in being just candid here. There is a bit of an assumption that some of you may be struggling. Or an assumption that if you're not struggling this morning, you may be tomorrow morning. You may next week. Or a year from now, I was talking to a brother not too long ago, a good friend of mine, was in the ordination process several years ago, and he still wrestles some with that. Why was he not chosen? What's wrong with me? Why was I not good enough? What did I do to displease God? What is it about my character that disqualified me, even though I was part of the process? And so I don't know if any of you here this morning have thought those things, and perhaps you have. So I would like to address that this morning by God's grace. Bring a message of direction for your life and hope in the process. And I would just like to say that I don't think you should feel overly bad about wrestling with some of those feelings. There is a point where we have to begin trusting God. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, I think there's benefit in being honest that we did feel perhaps some of that calling, and now it's not me. And there can be a whole lot of things insinuated here this morning, and I understand that. So I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do well with our hearts this morning. So I'd like for you to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Thinking about God's continual call, and if you this morning have wondered about the process, or perhaps why it wasn't you, and I would like to say to you this morning that there is a continual call on your life. There is a continual call on everyone's life. There's a continual call on my life. And there's a continual call on your life, whether you are specifically ordained or called to a specific role in leadership, or whether you are called to be a lay person. There is a calling, a continual call on all our lives. And I want to this morning this to be a message of direction, of hope, of courage, for all of us this morning. And as I studied, I realized that there are perhaps two basic camps that we could fall into this morning. And bear with me here. There are those people that in the process, in the months, the year prior to ordination, that began to be aware of themselves and began to be honest about who they are, and perhaps even for years have already sensed a bit of a call. But when the time comes closer, they become very, they have perspective on life. They take inventory of what kind of person they are, what they believe, and so on and so forth. So we have that camp. They become very aware of God moving in their lives. Almost sometimes to a point of being conspicuous. I didn't sense that here so much this time. I remember that feeling. I remember that that awareness of God ministering to my spirit in a lot of different ways. Then there's another group of people that are not as serious, but understand that they are candidates because of various reasons. And then when the voice of the church is made clear or the lot is chosen, those people tend to not be that, those tend not to be quite as serious about life. And then the pressure's off afterwards, and all of a sudden they don't have to worry about it so much anymore. The point I'm making with these comments is that I believe that we should never, ever slack off in discerning what God is doing in our lives and working in our lives. But there tends to be sort of that those two realms. We're not going to focus on the last one. We're going to focus on the first one, those that seriously considered God moving in their hearts. And I don't know. I don't know that that's happened here. I have just observed that in my life in congregations where there are those, they will sort of be serious about it, but then quickly go back into their shallow way of life, Christian life, and because the pressure's off, and now we don't have to worry about it. But then there are those who continually will be serious about walking with the Lord and wanting, even though they weren't chosen. So to those, to all of us, I want to preach this morning, but to you who are serious and have seriously contemplated God's moving in your life. It is a warning to all of us, whether we took it seriously or not, and it is for our admonition, what we'll talk about this morning. So I trust the Holy Spirit can be faithful. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll pray. I'm going to read one verse out of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, but we will make our comments or go back through the chapter to bring out the points that I want to make this morning. I'd like to read verse 16 of chapter 15 of John. This is what it says. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples prior to his crucifixion. He was telling them things, instructing them, giving them some insight into what it's like, going to be like after he's no longer here. And this particular passage is about the vine and the branches. This is John's version of the vine and the branches. And so in verse 16, this is what he says. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained," in some translations, and I like this word probably better than the word ordained, it says, "and I have appointed you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Father, this morning I just pray. I pray for your Holy Spirit to direct in the message this morning. I don't know if there are men here who have wandered. Maybe even those who have given voice and their person was not clearly chosen. So as we move through this, Father, I pray that your word would become alive to each one of us and that it would minister truth to us in these times. And that as we go forward, we could surrender and commit ourselves to you, the one who has called us to bear fruit. So give us insight, Father. Direct my thoughts, my heart towards you and towards your people. We pray in your name. Amen. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to walk us through this passage, this verse here this morning, with the overall emphasis on the idea that the ongoing call in your life and in my life is that we bear fruit. So if you're here this morning and you're wondering why I wasn't chosen or your man wasn't chosen, let's just set that aside and look at what Jesus was telling his disciples and what he is telling us this morning and encouraging us to do. So we'll look at this verse, and this is what it says: "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So the first point I want to make to us this morning is that you are chosen. You are chosen. "I have chosen you," Jesus says, "to you. I have chosen you." And I don't know what that means to you or how that feels to you. But for me, it's foundational. When I began to understand that God in His mercy chose me to be a fruit bearer of Him, that He chose me to bear fruit for Him, something about that stirs within me a desire to do just that. Because I am not worthy of that. Me, who am I to bear fruit for Christ? But he says, "I have chosen you." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, he talks about a chosen people or a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. He says that about you and me. We are chosen people. Christ chose us. And how did he choose us? How is this possible? Because is it not true that in our way of thinking, and it is true, there is truth in this, that we often say that I chose Christ. I chose to serve Him. I chose to give myself to His Lordship. We call that the new birth. We choose Christ over Satan and the world. We say that. So what does Jesus mean when He says, I have chosen you, and you haven't chosen me? Here's what I think he means. This is what he means. He says, I have chosen you first in the fact that I have laid down myself for you. I have laid down myself for you. What does that mean? That means that Jesus removed himself from himself for my sake. I choose you first. I die for you. I choose you first. I do my Father's will for your sake. And so, remember, just right after this, Jesus went and died. He was killed for you and me. And so to you and me this morning, let's be clear that Jesus chose you for a purpose. And He goes on to say that you should go and bring forth fruit. So that's the reason He chose you this morning. You have an ongoing call on your life to bring fruit, to grow fruit for Him. And He chose you instead of Himself in His death. God's continual calling on you is based in the truth that He chose you to bear fruit for Him. His continual calling on your life is based in the fact that He chose you over Himself by laying Himself down to die for you. The second point I want to make this morning is that He has appointed you to bear fruit. So if you're feeling like there is no focus, perhaps, you're a bit disappointed, or maybe you're relieved, and at some point along the way, you will feel this twinge of, well, why wasn't it me? Or maybe you won't at all. We don't want to assume too much, but it is possible. Know that Jesus chose you to bear fruit for Him. So the question is, am I bearing fruit for Christ? So often, we get discouraged in times like this. The brother I referred to earlier faces discouragement. He wonders legitimate questions about who he is and why he wasn't, and why the other man was, and why not him. Good, godly man. Nothing wrong that I know of. And yet he was not the one chosen. But what he needs to remember, and what you and I need to remember, is that Christ chose us to bear fruit for Him. That's our ongoing call, is to bear fruit for Him. God's continual call on your life is that you produce fruit for Him. Well, how does this fruit production happen? How does it happen? How do you produce fruit? If that's God's ongoing call for you, for me, how does that happen? Here's how it happens. If we go back to verse 4 of chapter 15, this is what Jesus says. He says, abide in me and I in you, and as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Okay, so we get that concept. We understand that God's continual call on me is to bear fruit for Him. Now we understand that the way that happens is by me being in Him. You see, sometimes we get so discouraged in situations like this that we pull away from the vine and we can no longer bear fruit. Or it's difficult to bear fruit. But God is calling us to stay in Him, Christ Jesus, the vine, so that we can bear fruit. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So we put this in the context of this morning. If you're discouraged, you're perhaps easy to go into that spiral. Stay in the vine. Stay in that vine. That's what you've been chosen to do. If you want to be effective, even though you weren't called, you want to produce fruit, stay in the vine. Well, what kind of fruit is produced when we do that? What kind of fruit is produced when we stay in the vine? It's a lasting fruit. The last part of that verse, our verse that we're taking this from, it says, I'm going to read the entire verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So God's continual call on your life is that you produce fruit, but it's not just any kind of fruit. It's a lasting kind of fruit, a fruit that remains. What does that look like? So if you have an ongoing call on your life, which you do, and I do, are you producing lasting fruit? Is the fruit in your life something that remains? Going back and answering maybe the first question, how does this lasting fruit, is it produced in us? If we go back to verses 9 through 13, I would like to read those, and I think we'll understand how this fruit, this lasting fruit, is developed in us. So let's read that. Lasting fruit, that's what we're after. Ongoing call on your life is to produce fruit that is lasting. And here's what it does. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see the connection there. Abide in me, the vine. Continue in my love. Someone guess what the sap of that vine is. Abide in my love. I would suggest this morning that what produces lasting fruit is God's love for us as we abide in Him, produces love in us for others. Okay? Lasting love, or lasting fruit. Fruit that abides. Reading on. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. It's interesting that he begins and ends this passage with being fruit-bearing. He talks about the vine in the beginning, and in verse 16, he talks about bearing fruit. In the middle, he talks about love and abiding in His love, thereby producing fruit that lasts. Are you connecting it? And so, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's the same kind of verbiage, the same kind of idea that he has in verse 16, when he talks about our fruit remaining, being fruitful, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the ongoing call on your life, on my life, is that we bear fruit, and not just fruit. There are lots of different fruits that Scripture talks about. The fruit of the Spirit, we just went through those not too long ago. But he's also talking more specifically about fruit bearing that lasts. And I would like to suggest this morning that as we stay in the vine, that love flowing from God, who sacrificially gave Himself for you and me, so that we can now be the fruit bearers with that love juice flowing in us out to others. So your life here has meaning. God has a continual call on your life, and that is to bear fruit. Where do we do that? How does that manifest itself in your life and in my life? So when we understand this process and this call on my life, we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and in there we have the Apostle Paul talking about the gifts and how that the gifts benefit the body of Christ. And so as I develop this relationship of the vine, being in the vine, and I began to allow that the love of God flowing in me through Christ and what He did for me, and I began to develop character of Christ, now I'm becoming fruitful. My fruit is now affecting other people around me. And the way that's demonstrated is how I faithfully serve the kingdom in the church, in the community around me, and how I'm faithfully affecting people for Christ. Fruit that will remain. Someone tell me what will remain. What one thing on this earth that will remain in eternity, will be seen in eternity? What is that? People. People will be in eternity. Fruit that will remain. Fruit that is lasting. People will be. So God's continual call on my life, if you're struggling this morning with, why not me? You have a call on your life. I have a call on my life to bear fruit, to be connected in the vine, to be useful in the kingdom. God has gifted each one of you in a unique and special way. And it is for you to take that seriously, to affect the church positively, to affect the people around you positively for Christ, so that there is fruit that will remain. That's the continual call on your life, to be a fruit bearer for Christ. So this morning, I hope that there is a little bit of purpose and a sense of direction for you and for me, as we continue through this ordination process, that you can say, there is purpose. I may not have been chosen. And I don't know what all that means. But I choose to believe God when He says, I have chosen you to be a fruit bearer for me, and I will trust Him to produce that in me as I am in the vine, and I benefit the church and the community around me for Him. Let's kneel for prayer.